It occurred to him that he was in the hands of people who might kill him for the word he brought. Random shrugged mentally. They could try. They came at long last to a reasonably large chamber. The ceiling was at least 20 feet above them, and Random, Ruby, and Storm straightened up with varying sighs of relief. The walls were solid polished metal, and ranked seating followed the walls all the way around, interrupted only by the single entrance. The seating was full of people, packed shoulder to shoulder, staring down at the newcomers with harsh, watchful eyes. A man and a woman stood in the center of the open space, waiting. They didn't look particularly welcoming either. Tall John and Throat Slitter Mary led the three visitors forward.
This is Ragged Tom, Inspector Alice. Together, we're the Council of the Underground. Talk to us, Jack Random. Tell us why you have come here.
Jack Random smiled and nodded at the council members, and then at the surrounding watchers. If the numbers were supposed to intimidate him, they'd thought wrong. He'd faced unfriendlier crowds than this in his time, and worked under greater pressures. He took a moment to study the two new counselors. Ragged Tom was an average height, average weight man with nondescript features who didn't look any more ragged than his contemporaries. Spectre Alice, on the other hand, looked crazy as a cornered sewer rat. She was short and old, with greasy gray furs and remarkably similar hair sticking up in spikes. She also had wide staring eyes and a line of drool leaking from one side of an extremely disturbing smile. Random was just glad she didn't want to shake hands. Tall John mistook his pause for nervousness and started the ball rolling.
We've been fighting here for generations, and after all we've been through, we're still fighting. The council, therefore, came to the reluctant conclusion that just possibly we couldn't do this on our own. We need help. Fighters, weapons, supplies. We were told the Golgotha Underground could supply these things, but all they've sent us is you three. No one here has forgotten that the last time we asked for help, the cyberrats not only knocked out the military satellites that had been plaguing us, they also screwed up the weather satellites. We've been living in the resultant hell ever since. Give us one good reason why we shouldn't send the three of you back to Golgotha in several small packages to express our extreme displeasure.
Random smiled, entirely unmoved.
Firstly, the lack of military satellites and the disrupted weather are all that keep the wolves from calling in an Imperial Star Cruiser to selectively scorch the planet's surface down to whatever level necessary to wipe you all out. Secondly, the only reason the wolves haven't brought in a complete army of mercenaries to deal with you is because it would cost them more than it's worth. Start getting too successful too quickly, and they might change their minds. And thirdly, if any one of us is harmed, Golgotha will disown you, and you'll never see any help from the outside. Have I missed anything?
Just one. It's only a matter of time before the Empire provides the wolves with new military satellites, with sensors powerful enough to punch right through the weather, to ensure uninterrupted production of the new star drive. And that will be the end of all surface fighting, as far as you're concerned. It could also be the end of your first real chance of winning in years. Forget the screw-up with the cyber rats. That was a long time ago. Let us help, before your time runs out.
And if one of you so much as even looks at us funny, I will personally kick that person's ass up around his ears.
Everyone paused to look at Ruby. Absolutely no one present doubted that she meant it. Random coughed politely to bring their attention back to him.
According to our reports, your war has been going well of late. Tell us about that.
The size and number of our tunnels limits the ways the wolf security forces can attack us down here,
said Ragged Tom.
And we're more adapted to the conditions than they are. They don't like coming down this deep. Too many nasty things live down here, apart from us. Up on the surface, things are much the same. Our ancestors were genetically engineered to withstand the worst this planet could throw at us. The wolf troops don't have our advantages. Just superior numbers and better weapons. But they're only fighting to win. We're fighting to survive. Which is why the trenches are pretty much as they always have been, with neither side holding an advantage for long.
We don't give up,
said Spectre Alice.
We're the refuse, the thrown away, the discarded. We're the rejects, and we're proud of it. We reject the Empire and all it stands for. The wolves are just the latest face the enemy wears. So don't think we're so desperate we'll take your help and never ask the price. We won't swap one master for another. We'll fight and die alone if need be. So help us or be damned. We bow to no one.
I like her.
You would.
There's no price for our help.
Storm smiled reassuringly around him.
All we seek are allies against the Empire to help in the overthrow of the Iron Bitch. You need fighters, weapons, supplies. We can give you these. We're not just fighting for ourselves,
Ragged Tom said.
We're also fighting to free the clones working in the factory complex. Like us, they were brought here to work until it killed them. Now they work, eat, exercise, and sleep in the complex. Like us, they rarely see the open sky. If one dies, the wolves just clone a replacement from the dead body. They're designed, bred, and trained specifically for the work they do here. Work too dirty and too dangerous for humans. They're conditioned never to object, despite the awful conditions they work and live in. They're property. But still, sometimes they dream of freedom. A very few manage to escape. They come here to us because there's nowhere else they can go. There's always a home for them here. They are our brothers and sisters. The wolves know this. They've threatened to kill all the clone workers if it looks like our forces will prevent the factory from opening on time for the ceremony. They'd do it.
Yes, they would.
Everyone looked around as a tall, slender man wrapped in ill-fitting fur stood up in the front row of the seats. His face was drawn and gaunt, his mouth a thin line, his eyes sunk deep in their sockets. There was hardly anything to him, as though the smallest breath of wind would carry him away. His legs trembled as though they could barely sustain his small weight. But his gaze was steady, and when he spoke, his quiet voice was firm and measured.
I'm Long Lankin 32, a clone from the factory. They're working us to death to make sure the ceremony will take place on time. The work itself is dangerous. Exposure to the forces involved eats away at our flesh and our minds. They can treat us as they wish. No one says anything. The Empress wants her new star drive. Go ahead and attack. Let them kill us all. The hell they'd send us to can't be worse than the hell we live and work in every day. But if you could free us, we'd fight for you against the Empire to the last drop of our blood.
He sat down suddenly, as though afraid his legs would no longer support him. A loud murmur of encouragement and support ran around the watching audience. Random nodded, but said nothing. While he had no doubt Long Lankin's every word had been true and from the heart, he also knew a good publicity stunt when he saw one. The Council had put him up to it, to take the edge off their further complication. The Council had probably even written his little speech for him, to be sure of having the maximum effect on the audience and the newcomers. It was what Random would have done. However, Random had been a professional rebel long enough not to let his emotions sway him. His mission was to stop star drive production, and if that meant destroying the factory completely, along with all the clones in it, that's what he'd do. Of course, if he could work out a way to aid the rejects in rescuing the clones first, he'd happily do that. It was, after all, why he'd become a professional rebel in the first place.
Trench warfare's nothing new to me. We've put in our time in the trenches, haven't we, Alex? Of course, we were younger then. Same with fighting underground. Nothing new about tunnel rats or the blood they spill that the sun will never see. I'm not going to insult you by offering advice on how to fight. I've got a feeling you already know more about that than I'll ever know. But Alex and I have been fighting the Empire all our lives, too. We know strategies and tricks of the trade that might just give you an edge over the Wolf security forces and the church troops. We know how their minds work. I know you're disappointed that there's only the three of us. But people are flocking to the underground movement on hundreds of worlds. all spoiling for a chance to strike back against the Empire. And unfortunately, there's only so many Golgotha advisors to go around. You have Jack Random's word that you'll get everything you need in time. But for the moment, it's imperative that the Empress be denied the new star drive the Wolf Factory is producing. With a fleet powered by the new drive, Lionstone could finally be unbeatable. That's why we're here. To help you stop production, and if possible, overthrow the Wolves. Then, it will be up to you to hold this planet while we take on the rest of the Empire. We'll do everything we can to help you. There might only be three of us, but you'll be surprised what we can do.
Spectre Alice fixed him with her disturbing stare.
In other words, you want to just walk in here, take over, and run things yourself. Be the big hero one more time, right?
No, I've done that. I'm here to lead only by example, to fight beside you in the front line, to show you what I've learned in all my years as a professional rebel. Ruby and Alex will be fighting too, in their different ways. You asked for help. We're here. And together we'll tear that factory apart.
The four reject leaders moved together and murmured urgently to each other. A loud growl of debate filled the chamber as the onlookers discussed what they'd heard. Random looked casually about him, but was damned if he could tell from any of their faces how his speech had gone over. He thought he'd pushed all the right buttons, but it was hard to be sure. He'd been quite serious. He didn't want to lead them, but he needed to fight beside them. If only to prove to himself that he could still do it. That the legendary Jack Random hadn't died after all in the Golgotha interrogation cells. He had to admit the rejects hadn't seemed at all impressed by him so far. He didn't blame them, much. He was a man in his late 40s who looked 20 years older, despite all the improvements the maze had worked in him. A sudden sound caught his attention, and he looked around sharply. It was a grating, sliding sound, but he couldn't locate its source. The cavern floor began to vibrate under his feet, almost as though a train was going past. The four members of the council broke off their deliberations and looked down at the floor. Their faces hardened, and they drew their swords. People began to stand up in the ranked seating.
What is it? What's happening?
Crawlers. Creatures from the depths. They tunnel through metal like it isn't there. Eat anything that doesn't fight back, and most that does.
Ruby Journey's hand dropped to her side where her sword should have been, and then she cursed dispassionately as she remembered she'd agreed to come unarmed. Storm looked quickly about him. Random put a comforting hand on his shoulder. And that was when the floor next to Random cracked open, and a blunt, scaly hand burst up out of the floor, rising up on a long, undulating neck. The head was a good 4 feet wide, its body thick as two men. It had a wide, gaping mouth, full of jagged teeth, and no eyes. There was bedlam around the walls as the people in the lower seats tried to climb away from the danger and up into the higher seats. Tall John struck at the beast's neck with his sword, and the blade just bounced away from the thick scales. The broadhead swung around and slammed into him, knocking him off his feet. People were yelling for someone to bring energy guns. Random stepped forward and hit the long undulating neck with all his strength. His fist punched clean through the scales and sank deep into the flesh within. The beast screamed, a high, harsh sound that grated on the ear. Random braced himself and pushed his hand in deeper. The beast convulsed, black blood springing from its mouth, but Random wouldn't be thrown off. His arm sank into the scaled neck up to his elbow, and then his hand found the long, curving spine. It took only a moment to close his hand around the spine and snap it in one quick movement. The beast shuddered the length of its visible body and then collapsed dead on the chamber floor. For a moment, there was utter silence. And then the chamber erupted with cheers and applause from the watching rejects. The four council members were staring at him with open mouths, and then they put away their swords so they could applaud too. Random grinned. It seemed he'd finally managed to impress them. Storm was shaking his head in disbelief. Random pulled his bloody arm out of the caller's neck. Ruby handed him a handkerchief to clean himself off with and leaned in close beside him to murmur in his ear.
Show off.
Deathstalker Rebellion is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1996, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vanderslides. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for our complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.